again, Bob Chaundy here with another Considering Art podcast, in which I talk to an artist about their work and something of their life. I recently went to view an exhibition of works by my guest today, the Brussels-based Polish sculptor Tatiana Wolska. It's currently on show at MAC, the Midlands Arts Centre in Birmingham, right next to the Edgbaston Cricket Ground. She's called it Leisure as Resistance. We'll find out why in our interview. Tatiana's concerned about the wastefulness in Western society, and all of her sculptures are made of found or recycled materials. There are lots of pieces scattered around the space made from scrap wood, but the main thing that strikes you as you go in is a kind of makeshift shelter that she's designed and has been built from bits of old wood. Inside it are chairs and books and even a bed. It's similar to works she's exhibited outside in a number of European cities, mainly in France and Belgium. She does it to encourage passers-by to come and rest and take part in community activities like clothes swaps, knitting and reading groups, that sort of thing. Then above us, suspended from the ceiling, is a large, bright, voluminous creation that's made entirely out of red plastic water bottles. On the walls of the exhibition are a number of drawings and a mural which mirror the sculptures and which Tatiana has made in pencil, ink and paint. Tatiana was awarded the prestigious Salon de Montrouge prize back in 2014, which led to the presentations of her works at Palais de Tokyo in Paris in subsequent years. She's held shows in many European cities, but it's Tatiana's first here in the UK. I spoke to her at the exhibition's opening. Tatiana, welcome to the podcast. Lovely to meet you.
Lovely to meet you also. Hello.
You were born and raised in Poland. What was your background like?
I would say that our background was the same for everybody. But I was born in 77. So we were also all the time with this communist period in one shared building all together with a small city, Zawiercie.
And did your parents encourage creativity?
Absolutely. My mother, yes. My father was, he is an engineer, so not really a creative person, but my mother, she was really saying all the time, we have to read, we have to create. And
it's said that one of the reasons you used found materials for your sculptures is because you got used to using second-hand goods, junk, call it what you like, back in Poland. Is that right?
I just use garbage and things because we used to do it in Poland when I was born. For example, for my suite to the first holiday with, like, I had this, my swimming...
Swimsuit?
Yeah, swimsuit. I nape for the table. So it was always a question of transformation. We put all the wood in the garage and all the metal things. I think that we can reuse it one day. Mm. So it was quite intelligent and smart.
Mm. You were ahead of your time.
Yeah.
Why did you leave Poland?
I left Poland because actually I was dreaming to study art in France. I was sure, but it was the one possibility for me, one only possibility. But also, I tried to pass the exams for the fine art school in Krakow and I think in Poznań and Toruń. I don't remember, but they didn't want to my person in this school. So I was very happy because I always wanted to go to France to study, and I did it.
What was the attraction to France?
Yeah, all. Like in Poland, we stopped our culture of art history. I think it stopped with Toulouse-Lautrec and, I don't know, Renoir. So for me, it was like I have to go to France.
So you went to art school in Nice, was it?
Yeah. I came to Nice and I passed my exams.
And what sort of art did you study?
I started with the idea that I wanted to be a painter, but very quickly I touched some sculptures, some three dimensions materials, and I felt very, very comfortable with it. So after I decided to do sculptures and drawings, it was like at home. It was like a little bit hiding.
You use materials, as I said. Do you go looking for certain materials, or do you find certain materials and then decide what you do with them afterwards?
I would say that when I travel, I can... like yesterday, in the streets, I found some papers, strange paint papers. In Morocco, the last time I found some materials, like tissue bags. Every time when I'm in somewhere, I can be absolutely in love in some garbage.
Where do you look for it?
Everywhere. I don't have a special... in the second shop.
Second-hand shops?
Yeah. I really like to go and hunting in these shops.
And what about rubbish tips and skips and things like that?
Yeah, I think I watch everywhere.
And do you look for anything in particular?
Not really. I can use also this filter from the drying machine... like a ball who is broken. It depends of day and...
Well, give me an example of the last time you found something that you were able to use for a sculpture.
I think it was the birthday party and a lot of plates were broken. So I reused all of them to the sculpture. Like for drawings, I use a lot of materials like towels, a small piece of tissue that I found, and I put it together, and I use the sewing machine to put it together, or glue.
And so you see something in a secondhand shop, say, and you think, yes, I can make something of that.
Yeah. Yeah, but actually I really like this feeling that I'm feeling like a hunter. You go to a second-hand shop and you are like you feel
you
something.
You sniff it out.
Yeah. It's like primary feeling of...
Now, a lot of your work is made of scrap wood, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where do you find the wood for that?
Very, very quickly, I would say when I'm invited to the another exhibition, I just go to this shop that they prepare wood and sell you wood, and I just go to the garbage. So they leave me take what I want to take.
And what skills do you need to put your sculptures together?
I'm very good with drill. I'm like a king of drill. Now, like years and years after, I'm really, really good. I use the screw and glue, and I'm really quick. And
welding, how about that?
And welding, of course, also. But I had my period of this welding plastic sculpture, so now I'm a little bit... I take my break.
I'm told that you sometimes... get overwhelmed by the size of the sculptures you make. Is that right?
Yeah. I used to do some too huge things, and it's not very appropriate for my size. When I started to learn to put it in quite smaller pieces.
You don't plan, do you, necessarily the shape or size of a sculpture? It just evolves. Do you often get surprised at what you end up with?
Yeah, but actually it's my life is like that. My friendship and everything is like that in my life. I don't really project things in the future. I just come to me.
You've got this exhibition here at the Midlands Arts Centre. The centrepiece, I suppose, is this big wooden structure, a shelter. How long did it take you to make? Because you made it actually in the gallery, didn't you?
Actually, it's the first time, but I really leave people do it on my place. I just prepare the structure, like the skeleton, and I just described how to do it. I just explained that it's nothing to do about aesthetical. There is no aesthetical reason and not aim. It's just, you know, it must be solid and very explicit and very simple. So they did it, and I was drawing on the wall. So I was just looking sometimes if it's okay, and it was wonderful, and it's even better than my way of doing. So
you didn't actually guide them?
No. They really very quickly understood, everybody understood very quickly how to do it, and I spent 3 minutes on explication.
Now, normally you would make these structures for outside, wouldn't you, in public spaces? I think you've done that in various places in France, haven't you?
Yeah, I used to do it in the, park, garden, public spaces, and I do it maybe a little bit smaller, but actually it's the idea to take a break and to lay inside and to sit inside and to take a rest a little bit.
And what's been the reaction of the public?
It depends where, but people are quite happy with it, and I'm very happy after, because I heard about the idea to do the special birthday party inside, or people discover it just passing with a bicycle and they decided to sleep on. And the idea are different, but it works. It's people appropriate the sculpture to their aim.
Whatever they need.
Yeah.
This one has a bed in it. Are you expecting people to sleep?
Every time that I do it, I prepare some bed, yeah. Yeah, I really love the idea that we can lay and get a small or bigger sleep break.
And you've got, in this one, deck chairs so people can sit and enjoy it and relax.
Yeah. My friend François Draquier, who came with me to help me, he prepared with Terence, the person from MAC, some bed and a rope. So it's comfortable and we can have a small sleep.
Could it be too comfortable, though?
Maybe.
I mean, you get people living there permanently, maybe.
Oh, it would be lovely.
Really?
Yeah. It's the idea to, not maybe in the museum, but if the beginning of my idea, this idea to this hut, it was in the beginning when I moved to Brussels, I found a bunch of people homeless on the street. They are in the metro, in the tube, and everywhere. And I was so touched by this thing that I decided to show how we can easily and quickly do some hut. So the idea was to construct some of them in the city, but it's absolutely forbidden. But I wanted to put it from near the, how to say it, when you have a tube, you have a special thing, but with the warm air circulation. So I wanted to connect this hut with this warm air.
This warm air.
Yeah, to the people, to homeless people.
I suppose it has a lot of resonance today because of the high number of refugees that are encamped around the world.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was this idea in the beginning. After I read the book of Caroline Perez about women, alone women with children, and she was describing a lot of miserable,
yeah.
Yeah, women with situation, but yeah, very, very poor situations.
This exhibition is called Leisure as Resistance. What does that mean?
I was thinking very often about this word that we have to hurry and run and because we have to pay the second car, the second home, the second, I don't know, and we put ourselves in this very stressful positions, and our life, it's like COVID or not COVID, and financial crisis or not, we are in this very, very bad period of humanity. And I really like the idea that we can just stop to run and think about what we are going to do and why we are running.
Mm.
This thing that we can just stop, take a break, take a book, have a drawing.
Yeah, so it's a time of reflection, I suppose. And how much is your work a kind of starting point for discussion around issues like ecology, natural resources, climate change, that sort of thing? Sustainability, really.
Yeah, it's a lot of questions in my work, in my life, because this very cheap construction is the beginning of that. But I was like, in the beginning, I was counting hours in which time I can do this construction, even with the waterproof roof, just to let people spend a night in security inside. And we don't use to buy the heavy materials, and we don't have to spend so much money to construct it. The idea of very simple, quick construction, but there is a lot. This one that I did it in Mac, it's not really stable construction and solid, but it was just the idea to propose the idea of we can do it with very, very smart and ecological materials.
Yeah, I suppose it doesn't have to be quite as solid in a gallery as it would out in the open.
It was just symbolic. This construction is really symbolic, and I like the idea that I can put a lot of my ideas and the ideas of other people's, and we can connect our powers inside. That's why there is a conferences, the talks, the exchange, and people will share it and make it like alive. And
who are your other influences?
In sculpture or in art?
Well, both.
I always repeat, I was in Pompidou once, I don't know, maybe 4 years ago, and it was from the West exhibition. And in the beginning, they put some sentence. One of my favorite position is laying, just in the bed. And I really like his sculptures, and I really like this slowly, I don't know.
The slowness and relaxed nature of it.
Yeah, not capitalistic, not economical.
One of the interesting sculptures that you've made before, which you've included in this exhibition, is made from red plastic bottles, water bottles sold in France. Why did you pick that?
I was a student, and I was from east of Europe, and I didn't have money. Everybody has this grant to live and to pay the school. I haven't. And I was obliged to go to work, so I have this work in the pizzeria. So I used the scooter to carry the pizzas. And it was very difficult. I was always in the morning. I was in school with my bicycle. After in the at 12 o'clock, I was in this scooter, and after at 4, I was in the school and another one. And in the evening, I was in this pizzeria, and it was like a little bit crazy rhythm. And so I hadn't a lot of money, but I had this feeling that I love to work with my hands. And so I was searching in the garbage, and this city is quite rich place. So I could find a lot of materials, but this Badua plastic bottles were just amazing, because shiny, because there's something very, very interesting in this shape, but colors. So I just tried a lot of possibility of joining plastic to plastic, and one was to cut it in the several pieces, and after with welding iron I found my way to put it together. So this sculpture is quite big and quite time consuming sculpture.
But did you have any idea what shape it would be when you started?
When I started, no, I never have an idea, actually. Just for this exhibition in Palais de Tokyo in Paris, I just had this plan of Palais de Tokyo, so I had to do some smart form, but yeah, it should be in this corridor, so in this hall. So I did it, and I did it in several pieces. So in one place, I just had to put together, and it worked by chance.
But isn't there a political point in you using plastic bottles that were holding water?
There is a political and social involvement inside, definitely. But
I think it takes a lot of energy to make plastic bottles for water when you could just take it from the tap.
Yeah, and this bottle, this plastic bottle actually took like a 1,000 years to
degenerate.
Yeah, to degenerate. So it was like the king of
waste.
Yeah, waste.
Can you not recycle them?
They recycle them, and now this red plastic bottle to stop to product because it was so
wasteful.
Dangerous. Yeah.
Really?
So I have this plastic sculpture. It's almost like a dinosaur of...
So it represents waste.
And our intelligence.
Or lack of.
Yeah.
You've also done, for this exhibition, a large mural. Now, I believe it's painted in ash, is that right?
Yeah. In the beginning, it was supposed to be painted with pastels or I don't know whatever. But I just forgot one to make 20 sculpture and of the series one palette sculpture. So I decided to use the ashes of one of palettes, and I did it.
And what have you drawn?
Some forms like a kind of dirty cloud supporting by some fluorescing color, I don't know, leather, going up and up and up.
Yes, what these are the yellow parts of it. What are they for?
It's a Posca pencil, but it's like some... Yeah, I was thinking about, because very, very often I just start to draw and I don't know what is it, but... It was like a little bit symbolic, but maybe it's so stupid to do to describe.
Symbolic
it.
Of what?
Going upper and upper and upper, and we don't know where.
We don't know where it's going to end.
Yeah.
There are lots of drawings that you've included. What do you use to draw? Is it coloured pencil or paint or?
It's quite always the same thing. It's pencils, like color pencil for children, and pens, like we have all of us in our bags. So it's very democratic and popular materials that I use, paper and this.
For this exhibition and for your past exhibitions, have you been interested in the kind of feedback that people talk to you about, you know, whether it be about social issues, ecology, waste or whatever?
I had a lot of feedback from Fries Art Fair like 2 years ago. I was surprised because I couldn't come because of COVID. But yeah, people are quite surprised by using the bottles, plastic bottles, because it's like a very flashy color and very, very attractive colors somewhere. And people read after that it's like from plastic bottles, so it's a little bit sad. So I had a lot of feedback about it. And for the social sculptures and ecology and poor materials, I just used to be invited to exhibition which talk about these materials.
I mean, how important are your drawings in the whole of your oeuvre?
It's the most important thing in my life, I think. It's like everyday practice. I do it like I start day with this and I finish my day with this and after with a book. So it's like everyday thing.
And what do they mean to you? I mean, I guess there's more planning involved in your drawings than there is in your sculptures. Am I right?
There is no plan. There is nothing. There is just the idea of using my emotion connected with my brain and my head, but actually my hand take
control.
Yeah, take control. But I trust my hand.
Hmm. Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? So your life isn't planned as well?
No. I think I live like day by day. I can't. Yeah, I don't have this particularity and this.
Where does that come from? Your feeling that you live day by day and so on. Have you always had that?
I think my sister says always that I have my intuition who carry me.
Do you ever think that you should plan more?
No, it's just my friends or my entourage, like people can say me, you don't plan a year before, or I don't know, you don't plan your future, but I can't do it. Yeah, it's day by day, I think.
Well, thanks so much for talking, Tatiana. It's been great listening to you. And I partly planned this interview, but not totally. So something's rubbed off onto me.
Thank you. It was very nice.
Tatiana Walska and Leisure as Resistance is showing at MAC until the 2nd of June. Thank you very much for listening. This is Bob Chaundy saying see you next week.